famous person. For many years he was a doctor. He was very, very close to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He made a one-man encyclopedia of Halach and Refuah, several volumes, 5 or 6 volumes, for which he got a pras in Eretz Yisrael. It was very useful. And right now, in the last few years, he's the head of the Encyclopedia Talmudit, the institute. It's his responsibility, he has to raise money also. But he's a big Talmud Chacham, and his expertise is Refuah and Halacha. So we have Mar Mekaymus on the Shulchan, whoever needs, and the Kabbalah.
ברשות ראש ישיבה שליטה, ברשות רב גולדברג שליטה, it's really a great honor and pleasure for me to be here and give a little share on one of the areas that I deal with on a regular, almost on a regular basis, which is related to the Masechta that you are learning now, to Masechta Sanhedrin, in various ways. The topic is an old topic regarding abortion, whether it's permissible or not, in what conditions and so on. But there are some new scientific developments that I'll try to explain and see the halachic ramifications of it, which may avoid a lot of the need for abortion in very complicated situations. So I hope you have the handout of the Mar Mekaymus, and we'll try to go over them step by step and to conclude with some of these new developments. So the source, the only source in the Torah regarding abortion is a pasuk in Parshas Noach, the reference number 1, Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishafech. We'll see in a minute why it is related to abortion, but the pshat of the posuk is a little difficult to understand. The posuk says, Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishafech. How do you read it? Where do you put the comma? Do you read it, Shofech dam ha'adam, comma, ba'adam damo yishafech? Or you read it, Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam, comma, damo yishafech? And there's a big nafkemina on how you read it. So the pshat of the posuk, like the Targum Onkelus, Rashi, and all the Rishonim, the Meforshim of the posuk, read it, Shofech dam ha'adam, comma, ba'adam damo yishafech. And the meaning is, as you can see in the Targum Onkelus, the yishu dama de'enasha besahadin al mei mardaina dame yitashet. Whoever spills the blood of a human being with Adim, that Adam, Ba'adam means that people saw the fact that he killed a human being, Damo Yishafech, by Sanhedrin, by Bezdin. And Rashi says the same, Ba'adam Damo Yishafech, Im Yesh Adim, Hamituhu Atem. So, Shofech Dam Ha'adam, if someone kills a human being, and there is Ba'adam, there is other people who are Adim to testify that indeed he killed this person, Damo Yishafech, by Bezdin, like any Rotzeach. That is the pshat of the posuk, and all the Rishonim learn it that way. But interestingly, if we see the Gemara in Sanhedrin on this posuk, the Gemara apparently put the comma after the second Ba'adam. The Gemara read it, Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam, damo yishafech. How do we know? Says the source number 2, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel omru, af al ha'ubari. The chiyuf of retzicha is not only on a person who is already alive, but even an ubar, even a fetus, if you kill, there is a retzicha and damo yishafech. My time with Rabbi Shmuel, Dechtiv Shofech Dam Adam Ba'adam Damo Yishafech, Eizu Adam Shuhu Ba'adam, Heve Omer Ze Uber Shebemeimo. So they read it, Shofech Dam Ha'adam Ba'adam. If you kill one human being within another human being, and the only possibility in nature that one human being is within another human being is an Uber Bemeimo. There's no other circumstance in nature where one human is within the other human. Adam ba'adam, one person within the other person. So the pshat shofer dam ha'adam ba'adam, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is that you have an ubar b'me'ei imo. It is an odom bo odom, and if you kill this odom bo odom, namely if you kill this ubar damoy shofer, then you are rotzeach like any other rotzeach, and you'll be punished like a rotzeach. So Rashi explains, what does it mean, afala ubrin? Hikaita isha v'yatsu yeladeha, ne'ragale. If someone hits a pregnant woman and causing by that the death of the fetus, they obviously in those days didn't know how to do a regular abortion the way we do it in medical situations. So the obvious circumstance would be that he hit the woman and that caused the fetus to die, then is chayav misa. Adds Rashi, because the Gemara starts benoyach ne'erag af al ubori, because the posuk was said to bnei noyach when bnei noyach came out of the teva, and they were allowed to kill animals, which Adam Arishon was not allowed. Adam Arishon was not allowed to kill animals. But because Noach saved the kingdom of animals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to kill animals, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I allow you to kill animals, but I'm not allowing you to kill other human beings. So that is Shofer Dam Odom. To add to it is Odom Bo Odom, which is an Ubar B'mei Imoy, and that was said to Ben Noach. So only a Ben Noach is Mechuyav Misa if he kills a fetus. Ube Yisrael, if it is a Jewish woman or it's a Jewish person who is killing an Ubar, says Rashi, the din is different. He is not Chayav Misa. Beisrael, Ad sheyetze l'avir ha'olam. When is there a Chiyuv Misa of killing a human being? Only after the person is born. Once the person is born, he is a full human being. And if you kill this human being, you chayav misa like any rotzeach. But if you kill him prior to coming out to the world, if it is a Yisroel, he is not mechuyav by retzicha. That is the pshat that Rashi learns. And how do we know that? Kedestan Masechet Nido, Tinok ben yom echad ha'ogo chayav, heichadekim lei begabe shekalu lo chodosha ve'no nefel. Even after he is born, he will be chayav misa only if kolochotshov, if he is not a nefel. Because if you kill a nefel, again, you are not mechuyav retzicha. So Rashi makes this distinction that there is an isur retzicha with a punishment like an isur rotzeach by an ubar only if it's a goy who does it. But if a Jew does it, he is not chayav misa like a rotzeach until the child is a full-term baby who is already born. And the Netziv in Meor Misadeh on this Gemara in Sanhedrin says, on the Maimer of Rabbi Shmuel, Eizu Adam Shu Adam, Heve Omer Zubar B'meimo, Ve'af Al Gav De Ubar Lo Mikri Adam At Shenola. Says the Meor Misadeh, the Posuk cannot be explained the way Rabbi Shmuel says it. Because what does Rabbi Shmuel say? That Odom Ba'odom, a human being within a human being, is an Ubar. But an Ubar is not defined as an Odom. So how can you say that the Odom Ba'odom is an Ubar? The term doesn't fit. Mishumach benida ita, the dafka ben yom echad metame ben negoim, velo Ubar, mishum dechtiv adam ki ye be'or besaro se'et o sapachat. So if an Ubar has se'et o sapachat, he is not metame ben negoim. Why? Because he's not called an Odom. So how can you say that Shofer Dam Odom Ba'odom is an Ubar? The mere term Odom doesn't apply to an Ubar. So how can it be? Mikol Makom, says the Netziv, Odom Stama Lo Ikri, Aval Odom Sheba'odom Mikri. It's a big chiddush to say that the concept Odom doesn't really apply to an Ubar. But this unique situation of an Odom Ba'odom that we can't find it in any other circumstance, that is a new definition of an Ubar. An Ubar is an Odom Ba'odom, but he is not an Odom by itself. That is a chiddush. Then there is the famous debate between Shaya Pig Berlin and the Noida Biuda about this sugya. And Shaya Pig wanted to say מנהן מלטד שישראל אינו נהרג על העוברין אפילו בידינה דקל אולי חודשה. He asked, how do we know that an Uber, as long as he's not born, even if he's already full 9 months, but he's still an Uber, if a Jew kills him, he is potur from Ritzicha, from Oynish Ritzicha, שישראל אינו בכלל שופך דם האדם באדם, דדרש מיני רבי שמואל, דבנוח מצווה על העוברים, דלוקאי גם על ישראל. That is what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, בנויח מוזר על העוברים, because it says אודם באודם, so Rashi says, which comes out directly from the sugya, that by Israel it won't be the same deal. ואם משום דלא נשנית בסיני, how do you know that it doesn't apply to a Jew? Because we have a rule that anything that was commanded before Matan Torah and was not repeated after Matan Torah, it doesn't apply to a Jew. It applies only to a non-Jew. Adraba, neymar leYisrael neemra velo lepnei Noach. The Svora says that if it was said once, even though it was said before Matan Torah, it should apply preferably to a Jew than to a Goy. Why should a Goy be mechuyev in more chiyuvim than a Jew? Doesn't make sense. Veteres aloydo biyuda, hine kushiyah zu eini makir. I don't understand even what you are asking. De kivan de lo nishnet besinai, ve gam lo shayach bo lekamid ed Yisrael shari, shal kol panim asur liYisrael larog ubarim, kemo shenemar betosfot, daf nun tet, and we'll come to it a little later, אם כן מייטייתי לא אומר ובאדם דמו ישפך כאי גם הישראל. So he says the rule is, and whether we understand it or not it doesn't matter, the rule is that if it was said before Matan Torah and wasn't repeated after Matan Torah, it doesn't apply to Jew, it applies to Goy. Either is a rule lekamide, there can't be a possibility that a Goy will be mechuyav more than a Jew. A Goy is totally mechuyev in Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. We are mechuyev in Taryag Mitzvahs. How could it be that a Goy will be in a greater level of Chiyuv? Says the Noyde B'Yudah rule, when do we say that Leka Mide, it's only if the Israel would be totally potu. That doesn't make sense. But that, says the Noyde B'Yudah, is not the case here. Israel is also mechuyev on killing an Uber. The only difference is that the Israel is not mechuyav misa as a otzeach, but the chiyuv there is. So there is no lekamide. They are the same level of an issur to kill an ubar. However, the goy will be punished in a more severe punishment than the Jew. So what are you asking altogether? Says the Noyde B'Yudah to the shoy. So up to now, what we saw is that the pshat and the pasuk can be determined in two ways. The Gemara learns from here a haloche, reading it in a certain way, and the haloche clearly is that a goy is mechuyav misa on an uber, and Israel is not mechuyav misa. But is he mechuyav altogether? And if he is mechuyav, what is the source of the chiyuv by Israel? We so far don't know where it comes from. So the Noyde B'Yudah took it as a clear understanding that Israel is mechuyav, but he didn't say why is he mechuyav, what is the source of the chiyuv if it's not this posuk. So therefore there's a whole host of attempts to understand what is the source of the chiyuv of Israel to do an abortion. Why, if it's an issue, where does this issue come from? So I collected here a few statements, but there are many more. I don't think it's so important to go into all those different sources. It is more important to understand the mir chiyuv, the level of the chiyuv, and what do we do in different situations. So the Zohar says something that everyone quotes. I'm not an expert in Zohar, I'm just quoting what the poskim have quoted the Zohar. And the Zohar says, "Ha'u ubra demit abra itete, v'garim lekatlalei b'ma'a, desatir binyana dekut shabrichu v'umnut adilei." If someone kills an ubar, a Jewish nefesh, a Jewish potential human being, that is something that he is destroying the building of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of this fetus, and you go and kill it, that is a destruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work. So that is a sort of a mystic approach to why we shouldn't kill an Uber. But that lehaloche, I don't know how we translate it. What issue is it exactly, this type of Zohar? But certainly whoever is Nizar in Kabbalah, then there is a source in Kabbalah. The Chabos Yoir has a different mahalach. He holds that a Jew that kills a fetus is mechuyav mishum ashchotos zera, and it's a kal v'chomer if on the zera that it not even becomes the beginning of a human being. It has a remote potential to be a human being. There is an issur d'oraisa of ashchotos zera. This zera is already a partially human being. To kill it is a derivation of ashchotos zera. That's the Chabos Yoir. Many disagree with him. It's not the same. It's not the zera lealoche. The Iso, thank you. Le'aloche, the Iso is only on the Zera. We don't find an Iso once the Zera has changed and is not anymore a Zera, it's something else, that we should say that there's still a remembrance that it was once a Zera, and destroying it is Ashchos a Zera. So some poskim disagree. Interestingly, the Sri Dayesh holds that abortion by a Jew is an Issur d'oraisa, but he says we don't know the source of it. We accept it's an Issur, we can't find a source to it. He brings the Chavos Yoir, he doesn't agree with the Chavos Yoir's Shita. He says maybe there's another Tam, Vadayin Einanu Yodim Tam Leissur Zeh. So he says, there is an issue, we don't know the cause. The Meshech Chochmeh has an interesting take on that. And he says that the posuk, Make Odom Yeshalmeno, Make Odom Yumat, Yeshalmeno, if you hit a human being, your chayev as a choyvel, he says that that applies to an Uber as well. Learning it from Shofech Dam HaOdom BaOdom, that the Gemara says that is an Uber. So if a Ben Noach is killed on that, the Israel, we don't find a source to kill him, but he says it's Chayev Misa Bidei Shamayim. It's an Isur Etzicha by concept, but the Oynesh is not by human beings, that is only in Eben Noach, but there's still Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shamay. Interestingly, that he takes Odom as applying to an Ubar, and we saw earlier that by all definitions, Odom is not an Ubar. Maybe Odom by Odom is a unique state, but to take Maki Odom and to apply it to an Ubar sounds like it's against what we learned earlier, but that is how the Meshech Chochmeh wants to say. A sort of a chiddush, Rab Moshe in Igros Moshe writes that indeed the issur of an Yisroel to perform an abortion is an issur etzicha. It's the same source of the issur that a Ben Noach has. The only difference, according to Rab Moshe, between Ben Noach and Yisroel is the punishment. Benoyach you kill, and Israel you don't kill if he performs an abortion. But the issur is an issur etzicha. I'll come back to it in a moment, and I'll tell you a little bit of some debate that was between Moshe and the Tzitz Eliezer on this matter. But now that we are talking about sources of issur, I didn't find in earlier poskim that they applied issur etzicha on a Yisroel that performs an abortion. That seems to be a chiddush of a Moshe. He learns it from different Tosfos, and we'll see in a minute that there are steers in the Tosfos how to relate to the issue of killing a fetus, but he feels that it's pshita, it's kosher to say that the Isur Etzicha is the same Isur, whether it's a Ben Noach or Israel. The only difference is whether you punish him as a Rotzeach or not. So that's a source, obviously, of importance, of a great importance in practical matters, but it seems to be a hitch. Now, let's go over to number four. We assume that there is an issue of abortion even for a Jew. Not only like the Gemara says, Ben Noach Muzar al Oborim, but even Jews. We were struggling with the finding of the source of the issue by Israel, but we still did not decide, even if there is an issue for Israel to perform an abortion, is it an issue d'oraisa or is it only an issue d'rabbanan? And in fact, apparently one of the sources to debate whether it's a d'oraisa or d'rabbanan is how far leka mide goes. When we say that it can't be that a goy will be mechuyav more than a Jew, that is a d'oraisa. The Torah itself said, if I tell you that the goy is in an issur, then the Jew is as well in the issur. Why did I apply it to the goy? Maybe for punishment, maybe for other reasons. But the issur is an issur d'oraisa. Or it is a d'rabbanon rule. Rabbanon said, pasnish, it doesn't fit that a goy should be mechuyav d'oraisa more than a Jew. So we Rabbonon say the Jew should be also in this issue. So it's only an issue d'Rabbon. That indeed has been a big machloikis between Reb Moshe and Rav Waldenberg, the Tzitz Eliezer. And I was involved in it when I was a young man, about 40, 45 years ago. And the story was that Rabbi Waldenberg lived across the street of Shaare Tzedek Hospital in the old building in Jaffa Road. Now Shaare Tzedek is in a new complex nearby Vegan, but for many, many years, since its establishment in 1902, it was located on Rehov Yafo, not far from the central bus station. And Rav Waldenberg lived across the street. And the shul that he davened was the shul of Shaare Tzedek. He used to come in the morning to daven Shachris and Minche Mairev. He came to the shul. For us, especially young doctors, beginners, in those days where there wasn't much knowledge on medicine and halacha, there weren't yet developed books and issues that were discussed by the poskim, it was a very helpful situation. Any shaila we had, we came to daven. We, after davening, went to the Tzitz Eliezer, here's the Shaila, and right away we got an answer. If it was more complicated, something new, he would ask us to write the Shaila, and by, let's say, Shachris, we gave him the Shaila. By Minche Mairev, he came with 20 pages of a tshuva, which further on was incorporated in the Tzitz Eliezer. So if you look at the first 10, 15 volumes of the Tzitz Eliezer, you'll find many tshuvas to doctors at Shaare Tzedek who asked the shaila, because that is how he worked. So one of the shailas that we asked him was, there was a pregnant woman, I think she was in her 6 months, and she was diagnosed as carrying a baby with Tay-Sachs. Tay-Sachs is a genetic disease. It's a lethal. All these children die within 3 to 4 years, and they deteriorate rapidly after a few months, and they become blind and epileptic, and it's really a terrible situation and a very short life expectancy. So she was diagnosed as carrying a baby, a fetus, with this disease. We'll come later on to when do we allow or not allow abortion, but she wanted to abort this fetus. She didn't want to raise a child that will be so terribly suffering and dying at a young age. And she asked, can she perform an abortion? So we presented it to the Tzitz Eliezer. So we wrote it because it was a new question, a new shaila. And as I say, by Minche Mairev, he came with 10, 15 pages of a tshuva saying that she is allowed to abort the baby because he decided, he paskened, that abortion by a Jew is only an issur de rabbonon, and bimkom tzar lo igozru rabbonon. And since there will be a big tzar both to the child and to the parents and to everyone around, on this the gzeira doesn't chal and it's only an issur de rabbonon, so you're allowed to perform the abortion. At that time, I started a journal on medicine and halacha called Asya, which is still appearing, coming out, but that was then the initial steps in this journal. And I thought that such a tshuva is a very important tshuva for the world to know. And it was important for me to publish it in this publication, which was new, and it will give it a push. I'm saying from a very egoistic point of view. So I came to Rav Waldenberg and I said, may I publish the tshuva? He said, why not? I didn't write it for myself. I wrote it for people to know. So I published the tshuva. And it turned out that Moshe Feinstein was very, very opposed to this tshuva, because as we saw, he held that abortion, even by a Jew, is an issur etzicha. So he said, how can you kill this fetus even though he is sick? Imagine he is born, and you know that he is tesax. Can you kill him? No one would kill him after he is born. How can you kill him before he is born? It's the same issur, it's issur etzicha. And he wrote a lengthy tshuva against the Tzitz Eliezer, a little bit with a sharp language, I think not very characteristic of Moshe. Maybe there were other reasons why it was written that way. And he published his tshuva that it is an issue to perform an abortion of a fetus, even if he is suffering from such a grave disease as tesax. Rav Waldenberg was a little bit offended by the language. He said, okay, he is allowed to disagree with me as I am allowed to disagree with him. But why such a language? He was a little offended. And then, again, it so happened that I finished my first book, which was a summary of the medical tshuvas of the Tzitz Eliezer up to volume, I think, 14, that was at that time available. At the end, he finished with 22 volumes, but at that time there were 14 volumes. It's called Hilchot Rofim Ufuah, according to the Tzitz Eliezer. And I came to him for askom. Obviously, if I write a book, and the book is on his work, and it's my first book, would be nice to get askom. He said, I'm very glad that you came to me for askom, because I'm going to refute the Moshe as askom. I'll use this forum to write my opinion on that. And again, he wrote it, again, he went over his whole shita as an introduction to this book. And he used a little bit a sharp language as well. He was offended. So I came to him and I said, this is my first book. I'm a young person. Why do you have to shave your beard on me? Why do you have to write in this book such a language? It's okay that you refute the position of a Moshe. Who am I to decide who is right, who is wrong? I mean, that's Milchamta Shel Torah. But, and as young as I was, and as old as he was, he agreed and he changed the language. And if you'll see, it subsequently was published also as a tshuva in Tzitz Eliezer. And you'll see that it is regular maso maton and halacha without using a difficult language. One of the major disputes between them was the number 4, a Tosfos in Nida. Tosfos say, "Im timtze lo imar de mutar lehorgo bebeten, afilu meta imo velo av kemunach bekufsa, amay mechalelim alav et haShabbat shemeviim sakin derech rishut harabim likroa haem kedemuchar beperek kama de erchin." Tosfos there asks the Shaila. There is a din in Erchin that if a pregnant woman dies on Shabbos, you're allowed to be mechalel Shabbos be'isur d'oraisa. For instance, to bring a knife from Reshus HaRabim in order to cut open her stomach to take out the fetus. Perhaps the fetus is still alive. The mother is dead, but maybe the fetus is alive. So, sofek pikuach nefesh of the fetus, we're allowed to be mechalel Shabbos be'isur d'oraisa. Ask the Tosfos, if it is permissible to kill the ubar by a Yisrael, why should it be permissible to be Mechal Shabbos to save it? Doesn't make sense. if he is nothing, if you just kill him and there is no issur in this, why should it be mutar to be mechal Shabbos b'issur d'oraisa? So the Tosfos uses the language mutar hordo babete, that it is permissible to kill the uba. And the Teretz is yesh lomar the mikol makom mishum pikuach nefesh mechalim alav et haShabbat af al gav de mutar lehorgo. Again, second time in the same Tosfos they use the language mutar lehorgo, and they make a distinction between chilul Shabbos for pikuach nefesh that sometimes is permissible even though it is intended for someone who, if you kill him, there is no isur tzicha. That there are different rules on these subjects. So twice the Tosfos say mutar lehorgo. Says Rabbi Waldenberg, obviously the Tosfos didn't mean that it's a lechaschilo that you can kill just a fetus as is, because there is lekamide. If a goy is a mechuyav retzicha, how can a Jew be mutar altogether? But Rabbi Waldenberg says that goes well with my shita. Mutar midoraisa lehorgoy. There is no issur d'oraisa to kill a fetus. Why should it be mutar d'oraisa to be mechal Shabbos to save his life? That is how he explained. The Egos Moshe had trouble with this Tosfos. If he holds that even by Yisroel the issur is issur etzicha, how can you say mutar lehorgo? And even if you say mutar lehorgo d'oraisa but not d'rabbono, doesn't help Moshe. Moshe says there is an issur d'oraisa. So how can Tosfos say mutar? Says Reb Moshe that it's a Tor Sofer. It should say Potur lehorgo bebete. Potur meoinesh misa. He is mechuyav deoraisa by isur etzicha. But he is potur from oinesh misa, and therefore why should you be allowed to be mechal Shabbos? That is how he learned. Refuted the Tzitz Eliezer, how can one make a Tor Sofer just because it doesn't fit his shita? I mean, he didn't find any ancient manuscripts that it says potur and Bocher Zetzer turned it to muta. Then it's okay. So you rely on a previous source that it says potur. But there's no such source. So because it doesn't fit your shita, that's why you're changing the gersa. So that is how this machloikis went on back and forth on this particular Tosfos. So these are some of the frameworks of the issur. Until when? Okay. So now let's turn to some practical aspects. Whether it is an issur d'oraisa or an issur d'rabbonon, and whether it's an issur etzicha or ashchos zera or tam lo yadua, whatever reason, everyone agrees that if the pregnancy may cause danger to the life of the mother takes precedence. And you're allowed to kill the fetus in order to save the mother's life. That is a Beferish Mishnah. So no one will argue, even Rav Moshe wouldn't argue about it, that if you go by priorities, by Kedimus, obviously the life of someone who is born takes precedence over the life who is not yet born, even though this life is a full life, according to Reb Moshe, is an issur tzicha. But yet, the mother takes precedence, and that's a Mishnah in Ohalos. Ha'isha she'im akshah leiled, mechatchin et avalad b'me'ah, umotzi'im oto evarim evarim, mipnei she'chayah kodmim lechayav. Her life takes precedence. So even, not only during pregnancy, but even when she is already delivering, in the process of delivery, you're allowed to kill the fetus in order to save the life of the mother. Yatzarubo. However, if the fetus is already born, and what rubo means is a big discussion beyond the scope of this shiur, the halacha is eino ginbo she'ein doichim nefesh mipnei nefesh. Once he is born, he is a full nefesh equivalent to his mother, and therefore you cannot kill one in order to save another one. So until he is born, her life takes precedence over his life. Chayah kodmim lechayav. Once he is born, ein doichim nefesh mipnei nefesh. That's a mission. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Omar Avuna, katana rodef, nitam latzilo benafsho. Even if a child is a roidef, you're allowed to kill him in order to save the nirdaf from what the roidef wants to do. Chiddush is that you would say a cotton is not bardas, and if he wants to do something, why should you kill him? He doesn't understand what he's doing. It doesn't matter. He's a roidef, and a roidef you can kill in order to save the nirdaf. Kosava, roidef eino tzarich hatra'a, loshna gadol veloshna katan. How do you kill a roidef? You don't come to the roidef and say, listen, you are now going to do an avera, you're going to do the isur is retzicha, and you say afal pichen, and then you'll kill him. That you don't have time to go over all these details. You just kill him in order to save the life. Eitiv Rav Chisda l'Ravuna yatsa rosho einogin bo lefi she'en dochi nefesh mipnei nefesh v'amai roidefu. If you say that even a koton that doesn't have das, you're allowed to kill him if the roidef, so why only before the baby is born you are allowed to kill the baby, because the fetus, he's not yet a baby, because the mother takes precedence, even after he is being born he is now a roidef, he wants to kill his mother, wants, quote unquote, he doesn't want it really, but he's a form of a roidef, and a form of a roidef like a koton you're allowed to kill. So why, if Yatsa Rosho, you're not killing him and letting him kill the mother? Says the Gemara, Shoni Hosom the Mishmaya Karatfile. That is not a regular roidef. It is not like someone who is running after another one, whether he has das or doesn't have das, but he's doing an act that he is a roidef. Such a roidef you're allowed to kill. But this fetus, he doesn't do anything. He's just being born. By the fact that he is being born, he is endangering the life of the mother. That is not a form of a roidef, therefore cannot kill. So obviously there is a famous Rambam on that. Can't give a shiur without a Rambam that is difficult to understand. So the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach brings this sugya in Sanhedrin, but in a different form. He says the following. Harezo mitzvat lo tase shelo lachus al nefesh harodef. We have a loitase that if you know that someone is going to kill someone else, he's a roidef, you shouldn't take compassion on him, you should kill him. Lefichach, says the Rambam, horu chachamim, shaubara shimaksha leiled, mutar lachtoch haubar bemeea ben besam ben beyad, mipnei shehu kerodef acharea lehoga. The Rambam took the concept of roidef and applied it to the stage of the fetus before he is born. And because he is a roidef, you are allowed to kill him as any other roidef. The imi shehotzi rosho, says the Rambam, the halacha in the Mishnah, eino gimbo. Why? She'ein dochim nefesh mipnei nefesh, v'zehu tivo shel olam. Because it's not a regular roidef, because that's the teva, therefore you're not killing him. So the obvious question is, how can he introduce the roidef in the stage of a fetus and get rid of the roidef after he's being born? Doesn't make sense. Either he's a roidef, so he's kal v'chomer a roidef later, or if he's not a roidef, because as the Rambam says, zehu tivo shel olam, beforehand it was also tivo shel olam. How was he a roidef? So everyone is discussing. There's a famous Reb Chaim, Evin Ezel, there are a lot of Achronim who discuss this. Rambam is really difficult to understand because he doesn't follow the Gemara in Sanhedrin. In the Aloche, he says the same Aloche like we see in the Gemara. But the reasoning is an inner contradiction and doesn't follow what the Gemara says. So that is just as a side issue to think about. So if there is a skone to the mother, everyone agrees that you're allowed to kill the fetus in order to save the life of the mother. But that nowadays almost never happens. There are rare situations where you have to cause an abortion to save a mother from a disease. Today we know how to treat pregnant women, even if they are in danger, without necessarily kill the fetus, or by doing a cesarean section and save both, save the mother and save the fetus. So that whole sugya of skone for the mother, which is takes up a lot of halachic sources, became, because of the advancement of medicine, a rarity. It's almost never discussed. If it happens, then the halacha is clear, but that is not something that is being discussed. Where do we discuss abortion? Nowadays, we discuss abortion in situations where the Gemara didn't discuss it, where the Rishonim didn't discuss it. And that is when the mother is perfectly fine. She can carry the pregnancy and deliver, and she will be fine. But we know, because we have advancements in testings, that the fetus that is going to be born will be sick, or will be disabled, or will be mentally retarded, or will have a short lifespan. Are we allowed to kill, to abort this fetus by a Jew? We're not talking about a benoyah, then the din is different, but by a Jew. Are we allowed to abort the fetus, not to save the mother's life, but to save the fetus from himself? He shouldn't be born in a condition that we don't want him to be such. So if we go according to a Moshe, that the issue of abortion by a Jew is an issue retzicha, then it doesn't matter if he will be a perfect baby or a severely disabled baby. It doesn't matter. You're not allowed to kill anyone. So the answer would be no. If you go according to the Tzitz Eliezer, since it's only an issue de rabbonon, then if it's a serious disease of the fetus, you're allowed to abort. And we have asked, since this first day sucks condition, we have asked him about Down syndrome, about cystic fibrosis, about neurofibromatosis, many diseases, and he allowed to do the abortion because he held that that is a significant tzar that you can postpone an issue de rabbonon. However, to the best of my knowledge, most of the poskim are somewhere in between. They don't hold like the Tzitz Eliezer that it's only an issue de rabbonon by a Jew, but they don't hold like the Higos Moshe that it's necessarily an issue retzicha. So it's some form of an issue d'oraisa, which usually would say that you're not allowed to abort. But if there are sniffim here and there that you can use, then they would be a little more lenient. So for instance, according to the Gemara, until 40 days, the fetus is maya be'alma. He's not yet a human being. Although, according to the Gemara that discusses it, the concept there is that he's maya be'alma in a sense that that he's not, that if there was a miscarriage, if he happened to fall out, the mother is not tmeas leida yet, because he wasn't yet a formed baby. It doesn't follow necessarily that before 40 days you can kill him, more so than after 40 days. But some of the poskim have taken this concept that since he's maya be'alma, if he's severely defective and if it's not an issu retzicha, it's a different issu. So in a combination, you can allow it. One of those poskim was Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and indeed he passed on several cases that I presented to him, that if we know, and it's not so simple to know that the woman is pregnant within 40 days and tested, and the results came back all before 40 days to say that the fetus has a severe disease, but if it happens, and it can happen, then some of the poskim have allowed to do it. Now, let me turn to another issue. Number 9. And that is my experience with the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. We know in Hilchos Shabbos that a physical disease that can cause pikuach nefesh, or even sofek pikuach nefesh, is doicha Shabbos, that everyone knows, and there's no chiddush in it. But not only a physical disease, but also a psychiatric disease has the same level of heter to be mechal Shabbos in order to save someone from a dangerous psychiatric illness, not necessarily a physical illness. Even to a degree that for tiruf hadas, just to be, not to be upset in a level that can cause remotely a pikuach nefesh, we allow to be mechal Shabbos. That's a famous gemore of a blind pregnant woman who is going to deliver on Shabbos. It's dark, and she says, please put on lights so that you will see better what's going on, and you won't endanger me or my baby when you deliver me. Now, she's blind. she wouldn't know the difference if we did follow what she asked or we didn't follow what she asked. So why shouldn't we say yes, we put on the lights, we see well, and not do an Isur D'oraisa of putting on light on Shabbos? Yet the Gemara says you should put on light on Shabbos. Mishum Teiruf Hadas. So we see that sometimes, and obviously it depends how you assess the Teiruf Hadas, but a psychiatric, psychological problem that is significant enough is a cause of a Pikuach Nefesh. So several times, I'm a pediatric neurologist and I treat very severely defective, mentally defective children, and many of them are genetic. And it so happens that a family has one or two severely defective children, they are under my care, and now the mother comes and says, I got pregnant, I didn't want, I'm afraid, I don't know if this baby will be the same, I have such a bad experience already, I can't handle it anymore. So I used to call up Shlomo Zalman, and he used to tell me, send her to me, send the woman to me. And when the woman came to Shlomo Zalman, sometimes he would call me and say, I'm giving a head for an abortion, and sometimes not. So I asked him, why do you want to speak to the woman, and why sometimes you say like this and sometimes like that? So he said, I have to assess her psychological situation. Obviously, physically, she is fine. She is a healthy woman. She is just afraid, psychologically, what will happen if she'll have another such a defective child. So if, in my assessment, I see that she's so upset that it is a level of sofek pikuach nefesh on a psychological, psychiatric level, then there is a heter, like any other sofek pikuach nefesh. Obviously, every woman would be upset, but if I see that the upsetness is not to such a degree that in my assessment it is a sofek pikuach nefesh, so there's no heter to do the abortion. Once, again, I called him up. There was a similar story. I told him the story, and I expected him to say, send the woman to me. So at that time, he said, send the woman to another poison. So I came up and I said, what happened? Why up to now you asked me to send such women and all of a sudden you don't want to see her? So he said, I'll tell you. I'm now an old man and I don't feel that I have the capabilities to really understand the feelings of such a young woman who is pregnant. Just to say, a din in Shulchan Aruch, that's not a psak. You have to really assess the situation. I'm not at a stage now that I can do it, and therefore another poysek should deal with this question. I think it's a very unique way of paskening and of assessing oneself. Let me conclude with new advancements that in many instances bring us to the situation that there will not be born defective children, yet we will not have to abort them. And that is called PGD, which stands for PGD, pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. And what is it? What we do today, and at Shaar HaTzedek we have a big practice of that, and over 500 families were saved in the recent 5-6 years by this procedure. And what we do is the following. Let's say the family had a child with Tay-Sachs. If this couple has a child with Tay-Sachs, we know for sure that both parents are carriers of the gene, so that they themselves are healthy, but 25% of their children will have the disease. That is how a recessive genetic disease works. So since they have already a child with Tay-Sachs, we know for sure that they are carriers, and each pregnancy has 25% chance to be a Tay-Sachs. So up to PGD technology, such a couple would take a chance, the woman will become pregnant, they will test the fetus if he is a Tay-Sachs, and then, depends who they ask. If they ask the Moshe, he'll say, nothing to do. If they'll ask the Tzitz Eliezer, he'll say, you're allowed to abort, right? But with PGD, what we do is we take an egg from the mother and we take sperm from the husband. We fertilize them in the petri dish. We don't do it as a pregnancy. We do it in the lab. And we let this fertilized egg to divide twice. So we get four cells. We take out one cell of the four, and we test this cell for the gene of Tay-Sachs, if this is the case of this family. If in this cell we find the gene, it means that this whole fertilized egg, if it will be implanted, the child will have Tay-Sachs. Whereas if this single cell doesn't have the gene for Tay-Sachs, we know for sure that if we implant this fertilized egg, the child will be born without Tay-Sachs. We can't promise that the child will be born a perfect child. All we can say is that he won't have Tay-Sachs, right? And that's what the parents are asking. So what we do is we take 15 eggs, we fertilize all of them, we test all of them after four cells, and those that carry the gene are not implanted, and those that don't carry the gene are implanted. Any genetic disease that we know what the gene is can be done in this way. We have done, as I said, in Shaare Tzedek, over 500 families with close to 300 different severe genetic diseases. And none of the children born had this disease that the family had. So that was a saver for the family without coming to abortion. Now, when this technology became available, I went to Aval Yashiv to ask if halachically you're allowed to do it. Because on the one hand, you have to obtain semen, which is a form of Hashchosa Zera in a way. And if you find the fertilized egg carrying the gene, you have to discard it. No one will want such an egg to be implanted, right? Are you allowed to kill the fertilized egg? And his answer was, you're allowed to do the procedure and you're allowed to throw away the defective fertilized eggs. As maybe you know, Aval Yashiv certainly in his later years didn't give any reasoning. He just passed him, mutar also, that's it. Now go figure out why it's mutar, what are the conditions of the heter, and so on. So I tried to do something about it. I think time is running out, so I won't go into the whole shmooze of how to understand this psak, but I think by now, most poskim that I know allow to do this procedure, allow to discard the defective fertilized egg, and by that way, we avoid the machloikes of a Moshe and the Tzitz Eliezer on abortion, because we don't get to abortion, and we can do it without abortion in a way of it. So that is a little bit about that issue of abortion. There's much more to talk, but I think some taste of the issue you could get. Let me just spend another 2 minutes after the Hagdomah of the Rosh Yeshiva. I am now heading the Talmudic Encyclopedia. I'm looking around if you see the yellow volumes. Oh, yeah, I see. Really, I think it's spread all over the world now. We calculated there were over 1 million copies sold over the years that the Talmud Encyclopedia exists. We are now celebrating 70 years since the beginning of the work. And I don't know if you'll be surprised or not. We just recently, last week, published volume number 36, and we are in the letter Lamed. So after 70 years, we are about in the middle, a little above the middle, because we know the numbers of entries that will be to the end. We so far have covered 1,300 entries, and there are another 1,000 entries to be written. So let's say it will take another 60 years. But luckily to me, certainly, and to those who find it useful, we got a very significant contribution with a condition to finish the project in 10 years. And we are now working very, very hard to try to get the money in order to finish really in 10 years. And it's going well, but I don't know if we will be able to to do it exactly in 10 years, but that is a reasonable lookout for it. Whoever is interested in Talmud Encyclopedia can either buy them. It's also in the Bar Ilan Project Ashut. It's also in Otzar Chochma, and you can use it from all these sources, and I hope you can enjoy it. Thank you very much.